Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studios for this Friday drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yentz, our daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yentzer. Welcome aboard. We're going to end the week on Friday like we often do, talking about some of the news, the issues, the politics, the ideas shaping the region. I'm coming into the studio a little sad this morning, so we'll get into that. It happens very rarely. I'm a pretty optimistic guy, but a little bummed out this morning. I'll share that with you, and you can join in on the conversation, 790-2040. Before it's all said and done, we're going to end on a high note with one of the best guys in Tucson, Jason Robinson, Mass Mutual. We're going to talk about when do you retire. We're going through a list of some of the top financial planning questions that people are asking out there. Not our opinion, what people want to know about, what you want to know about. We're trying to answer those questions. Jason Robinson is one of the few financial planners who's willing to get on and actually try to answer the questions, which we really appreciate, and he has always really good answers. So that's the end of the show. 790-2040, lots to talk about. Give us a call, join in the conversation. But I want to kick off with kind of my headspace as I'm coming on the air here this Friday. There was an article that hits close to home for me. I'm friends with these folks, and it's difficult to see this piece for me that I saw in the paper this morning, written by Gabriella Rico about an hour ago. Shipping Container Homes, founded in Tucson to debut in Denver. And as I read this article, I want to say this and then we'll get into the story. As I read this article, I thought, boy, this is in a few hundred words what I am trying to communicate on this show in the best way that I know how. And that is, there are some really good people doing some really good things and some good seeds in the ground. And there are also some intractable problems in this community that we have to get over. And I've spent a lot of time in a lot of different rooms in Tucson, not alone as many listening to this program. I have a deep respect for the elders of a diversity of groups who have gone before, who've been working on issues. You're listening to this show probably right now. I never want to come across that I know everything or that I, you know lots of things. I appreciate those who've gone before, but I've gotten to spend over the past few years a lot of time in a lot of rooms. And I've found that there is generally two sentiments about Tucson going on. There's one room where everything is bad, where everything is incomplete, where everything is a problem, where nothing, can anything good come out of Tucson? To quote the Bible. On the other hand, there's a lot of rooms where the feeling is everything is awesome, right? And I've talked about this. I think there's many for whom the Lego theme song is the theme for Tucson. Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. And it's kind of this almost cartoonish view that looks at people who say, hey, we've got some challenges here, and go, what are you talking about? Everything is fine here. Everything is good. And I approach this show, and I think many of you may not agree with this. I think many of you look at me, if you're in one of those rooms, as not in one of those rooms. But I'm telling you, to the best of my abilities, my goal with this show is to say, look, as residents of a metropolitan area, we have the responsibility to have one foot in the pothole and one foot on the moon. We can at the same time cast vision and say, these are the seeds in the ground. We got to storytell. We got to know what we're good at. We got to talk about it. Good things are happening. But here are the things that are getting in the way. And my goal with this show, when I talk about things, is to be the guy that's somewhere in between those two rooms. Not everything is awesome and not everything is bad. There is a mix of both. How do we maximize the good? And so as I was reading this article in the paper, Shipping Container Homes, founded in Tucson to debut in Denver, I thought, man, this article is a depiction of what I try to communicate on the program. And let me start with the good, right? It features a partner of this program, Full transparency at Tech Parks Arizona, University of Arizona Center for Innovation, helping a local company with business planning, scaling, investment, resources. Tech Parks Arizona, UACI, they're some of the people who are making some of this community's best possible future happen every single day. We have them on the show. We talk to them. They're doing a really good job. But there were some heartbreaking pieces, right? So that's the foot on the moon piece. So for those of you who don't know, Stackhouse is an initiative by a couple of young Tucson entrepreneurs, Janelle Briggs, partner Ryan Egan. Stackhouse offers 320 square feet of interior space for about $45,000. The goal is that there's about a 75-foot structure. These shipping container kind of tiny homes fit in and fit out. And the dream is that 10, 15 years down the road, these are in cities around the world. You can say I'm moving to Seattle and I have my affordable shipping container home, and it'll go in the Stackhouse in Seattle. And so it was always designed to be this thing that provided more affordable housing, right? And we're not talking Section 8, but housing that is affordable in very pricey downtown areas for a diversity of people who want to live downtown. So there were zoning height restrictions on where they wanted to put it. This article goes into preventing the proposed 75-foot structure. So they go to try to go through the zoning. They try to get a tax incentive because these are not people living in yachts in the Bahamas. These are bootstrapping young entrepreneurs who want the best for Tucson, who don't have the resources and looking in the right places for help. In 2019, the article says they proposed to build on Stone Avenue south of Speedway, but never got past the city's regulators. Janelle Briggs says, CEOs, we always meant to be in multiple sites across the country. We just couldn't wait for the city of Tucson to figure it out. Unquote. After showcasing our container home here in Tucson, we will journey to Denver, Colorado, where we will create our first 62-unit development to prove the Stackhouse model. There are more than 1,000 people on the wait list for the project. We're bummed about leaving Tucson, but very excited about going to Denver. Aside from the cost of the container, rents in the Denver Stackhouse will be between $1,500 and $3,500 a month. In Denver. I even heard Ray and Matt on the other side of the glass say, geez, yeah, this is what the country is saying. Imagine paying those rents in an urban area that is as expensive as Denver. Construction is expected to start in 2022. We just couldn't wait for the city of Tucson to figure it out. Another great company with an innovative model who pushed through the impossible. Good friends of theirs said this is impossible. This would never work. They beat the odds. They took years to do it. They're from Tucson, a heart for Tucson, wanted to make it work. These aren't out-of-state developers. These aren't fat cats moving in from somewhere. These are born and bred Tucsonans with a heart for this city, wanting to do something right, make a little bit of money doing it. And they couldn't wait for the city of Tucson to figure it out, unquote. And I come into studio a little bummed out, right? If you listen to this show, and you go, Zach is Pollyannish. He thinks everything is great in Tucson. I want to tell you today that I am an optimist because of the seeds in the ground and the people who are doing good things in this community. But I'm discouraged by the fact that we continue to find ways to send good people away. I had Fletcher McCusker on the show a couple of years ago when we went to a daytime to a weekday show, and I said, Fletcher, here's the brand I want for the city, Tucson. Your big idea lives here. And I just don't know if I can say that ingenuously. I am weary on this Friday morning of how many ways in this community we find ways to send talented people away. It hurts. It hurts. And you know that when I step out of this studio, I go and be a part of an organization. We're now 725 young professionals, and we're fighting to change the narrative. But so many are leaving, and we figure out new and different ways to do it. When do we turn the tide and start supporting our own homegrown people to make their big ideas happen here? And to find that there's a 1,000-person waiting list in a city like Denver for that kind of rent. I mean, this is a, I'll stop after this, I promise. This is a solution that Tucson could have owned, that Tucson could have said, we are the home base for solving a huge piece of the housing market that is a crisis around the country and around the world. Tucson could have owned it, said we started it, it happened here. In 15, 20 years, when this company is all over the world, Tucson could have said, we started it here. And the first place isn't going to be here. Denver got it. Denver did in a number of months what took years for the city of Tucson to figure out. My heart hurts this morning for the new and different ways we find in this community to send good people away to go make their dreams happen somewhere else. It's just not okay anymore. It's not okay by me anymore. Let's do a quick phone call and then I'll go to break. I know I'm a little bit late, but it looks like we have Wayne online too. Wayne's been waiting patiently. Wayne, I appreciate you listening and calling in. Go ahead.
You know, the Stackhouse is an innovative idea, and yet the city of Tucson is stuck on this LBJ era of putting people in high rises, putting them in beehives, and yet the Stackhouse would give them give people affordable housing with dignity at prices that are competitive in the Tucson market. And I agree with you. It was a terrible thing that the city drug its feet, and it stuck in the 60s with ideas for housing in the city.
Wayne, I appreciate the call. I agree. I think this was an innovative solution. I think that I'm going to say this and put a positive spin on it. I know a lot of good, innovative people right now today working on changing the zoning, changing how we design. There are good people thinking innovatively, Wayne. We don't have the critical mass where it matters most to actually make the big change we need in those areas and either support innovative private methods or adapt our zoning and design in a public sector way to get where we need to go. Wayne, I thought that was a great call. I appreciate you calling in. I'll just end by saying this. We've got good people trying to do good things. There are just some systems in place that are keeping us from our best possible future. And I'm tired this morning. 1030 The Voice, 790-2040. We're just getting started.
Issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Ensor. 1030 The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and Southern Arizona, here in the 1030 The Voice studios. Zach Yenser, your host here. You're listening to Tipping Point. Drive time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning here, Monday through Friday. It's mostly a call-in show, 790-2040. We're wrapping up the week, talking about the stories, the issues, the ideas, the people, the politics, the policies, you name it. If it's happening this week, we're going to try to touch on it. If we haven't already, kind of put a bow on the week. We're going to end with Jason Robinson as well, MassMutual, about retirement planning. Give us a call, 790-2040. I shared some of my a story in the paper that really got to me a little bit. I'm not going to dwell on that too much longer. I want to talk about some inflation numbers that are really interesting to me at the moment. But I just want to close out by saying this. A friend of mine, I thought, framed it really well, and that is that we need to see people get mad when we lose good people doing good things in this community. And the analogy he gave was actually, you know, you don't want to see a football coach on the sidelines never getting upset. If you see a coach on the sidelines and they are deadpan when the team is falling apart and the plays aren't being executed and the game isn't being won, that's a problem over time. And so I would love to see in this community leadership, public and private sector, at some points get mad when we don't win, when we lose good people doing good things. I think it's okay to get mad sometimes. I don't try to go there very often, but it's okay to say, you know what, we lost, period, full stop, and we're just tired of losing. And I think we need to see that. And we don't see that. We don't hear that. And I know I'm a little feisty this morning. I didn't plan to do this when I came into studio. But let's get to the phone lines. I want to leave it there, at least on my opinions. Looks like Sergio is online too. Sergio, thanks for hanging in there. You're live on the air.
Hey, Zach, how are you? You sound a little upset this morning.
Hey, I'm that coach on the sideline saying the play wasn't executed. We got to do better next time.
So, you know, Zach, I'm rough your age. I'm in my early 30s. And I remember watching this when I was in college at the U of A 10 years ago. I saw all of these constant things from the chambers, from the city leaders, these workforce development. We gotta do all these projects. And none of it ever gets done. It's just fodder. What you're struggling with today is a realization I had 5 years ago. This isn't a problem. This isn't a bug. This is a feature of the system of the government of Tucson and Pima County that has been this way since God knows when, long before I came to this place, long before I've been here. People and a lot of it is the neighborhood association. I was a masochist myself, and I decided to read some of the meeting notes from all of the neighborhood associations around town. The things they complain about, the things that they are, when a developer comes in to have a meeting, the things they ask is these nitpicky things. I don't want it this high. I don't want it this close to the street. What type of trees? These things, and it gets to a point, like the Stackhouse people are like, you know what? It's enough. They're either going to leave the city and go out to Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, or they're going to go to Denver or El Paso. El Paso is a city I'm originally from, and seeing how well they do things, they have major housing developments, downtown development that are just in weeks, months. They're quickly getting things done, and Tucson continues to just drag the ball of this nonsense, of all of this placation to neighborhood associations, to no growthers, and instead of finding some type of middle ground, they just give in and then just again, same cycle. This takes 10 years, it's going to be the same way, Zach.
Sergio, great call. I really appreciate you calling in. And I'll throw this in too. I think we have Charles on. Charles, if you can hang out over the break, we're right bumping up there against it. But I am a neighborhood association president of a downtown neighborhood. And it has been interesting to watch. How do we understand what are the issues at a neighborhood level? But then how do we also, like you said, Sergio, be a bridge builder between what we're comfortable with and what we have to do to create more opportunity for the most people? And that's the terminology I've been trying to use more. Look, all these conversations are going towards one answer to one question. Are we doing today what we have to do to create opportunity so that your kids and grandkids can stay or come back to Tucson? If we frame every question with that, I think we will have different conversation. And Sergio, I am living this at a neighborhood level, and I love doing it. It is grounding for me. We're hashing these issues out on the ground. We have to think a little bit bigger. We have to be saying, is what the decision we make today, is it going to bring our kids and our grandkids back to the city and provide them the most opportunity to have their own kids and their own grandkids? And I think the frank answer is that the way in which we make a lot of our decisions makes that answer no. And I think everybody, Republican or Democrat, wants that answer to be yes. We just need people to guide that conversation. We don't have enough of those. We'll be right back. 10:30 The Voice.
Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here in the 1030 The Voice studios. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. What I thought would be a quick segment talking about the article published in the Daily Star today about a homegrown entrepreneur founded in Tucson but debuting in Denver. That's a conversation that has struck a bit of a nerve here on our airwaves, and we're talking about it here. Jason Robinson, MassMutual, coming up in just a minute. Charles has been hanging on the line for a while. Charles, thanks for staying over the break. You are live on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Two quick ideas. Number one, I met with the Stackhouse people after you had them on the first time. What an enlightened couple. And the kind of people we Brilliant. Want to do things in Tucson. I wanted to help promote them, but they couldn't go forward because of exactly what you're talking about. And two ideas. Number one, if you want to make something like this go, make it a Starbucks. Put a Starbucks on the bottom, ally with Starbucks, and then Starbucks will get the thing built in 3 weeks. And just put a Starbucks on the bottom and your Stackhouse above it. That's number one. That's idea number one. And, of course, the neighborhoods will be against that, too. But so what? You got the power of Starbucks up against them. And number two is we passed about 6 years ago Prop 208 in Arizona, and that if the city doesn't grant you your zoning, your use, your fair use of the property, you can sue them for the imputed income on it in perpetuity. And the only way, the only peaceable way I know of to make a municipality listen is to put an economic ligature around their financial throat and tighten until they become cyanotic, blue, and then give it one more twist for good measure. And that if we stop being nice to people in government that are trying to restrict us, we will get a lot farther.
Charles, I appreciate the call, and I agree with you. I mean, these are brilliant individuals who have figured out in a capitalist society how to make a private sector solution to a community problem. I mean, that's nirvana, right? And absolutely brilliant people. And you know, I think the challenge here, speaking to the prop that you mentioned, and I think it's 206 or 207, where basically municipalities are prevented from not allowing a property owner to maximize the zoning and the property value. I think what was interesting here is that they were trying to go for a variance, according to the article at least, that was more than, so they were trying to upzone a bit, and they were also trying to get an incentive. But to your point, Charles, and I was mentioning this to a friend yesterday, I was remembering that viral moment by the young mayor out of Miami, Florida, when some tech person tweeted saying, hey, why don't we move Silicon Valley to Miami? Why don't we make Miami a tech center? And he retweeted that tweet, the Mayor Suarez of Miami, Florida, and said, how can I help? And it was a viral moment for a week or two. He was in news, he was in papers, he was retweeted because his sentiment of how do I make big ideas happen in my community, is just not something that you often see. And at a government level, I think that should be the sentiment. How can I help? And maybe that's getting out of the way in some ways. Maybe in other ways, it's how do you get involved to create more opportunity? And I think government has to figure out when it's best to step out and when it's best to step in. And that could be an entire hour. Let's go over to Rick. It looks like we have Rick on the air. I want to fit Rick in before we go to a break. Rick, thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm well, my friend, and I just caught the last of your last segment, and I'm glad that you continued this discussion. Here's what happens in Southern Arizona. We have pockets of greatness, whether it's the University Tech Park up the southeast or Roche Diagnostic or some of the other businesses that really live under the radar. We have the highest level of mining intellectual capital in the world, right here in Southern Arizona, but we ignore these things. Government promotes mediocrity because that would mean that somebody's smarter than government, and they don't want that to happen. I'm sorry. I've been here for over 60 years. Listen to my father and listen to the other things. Things changed in the 70s when we transitioned into a much more liberal environment that got away from doing things and expecting better all the time. We settle for mediocrity, and we get it, the government in this city gets excited about being in second place. That's all I've got.
Rick, I appreciate you listening and calling in, and I want to echo how you started the call, which was there are seeds in the ground here in this community, and not just in the ground, but are fully blossomed that are either under the radar or we haven't fully invested in. And I just want to say this as I close out this topic on this segment, is that my passion for Tucson, my passion for greater Tucson, actually comes from a really great place. What you are hearing today, this kind of happy warrior frustration is what I hope you're getting from this, is an optimism about the seeds in the ground. When I have Betsy Cantwell on from the University of Arizona and I hear about, and you're only going to hear it on this show, by the way, or at least you're only going to hear about it first on this show before it gets to the papers, the intellectual capital, Rick mentioned it in mining. It's completely true. Nobody does or nobody wants to talk about it. But there are a few different sectors in this town where we either are or are poised to be global leaders. And there's a lot of my friends in the room that wants to say everything is horrible in Tucson who won't recognize that. And I beg you to recognize that. We need your help to storytell what's going well in Tucson. I've said this, and it's a little cheeky and funny, but it makes the message. We have all the ingredients right now today to create a five-course, five-star dinner future for greater Tucson. It's all here today. It's all here. You got to put it together. You got to connect the dots. Got to put a little push behind it. But all the pieces are there. And so often we get to this point and we would rather have the expired Pop-Tart in the pantry for dinner. But my feistiness on the air is not because of what we don't have, but because of everything we do that we don't catalyze for the best possible future. And at the end of the day, what we're striving for is opportunity, is creating opportunity for our kids and grandkids down the road to be able to make a real go of it in Tucson. And I just don't think that means, 45% in Pima County make less than 50K and 65% in city of Tucson make under 50K. That's not a thriving, sustainable community. And when we do things like this piece in the Star Today, we keep perpetuating that. But I want to end on a positive note. My excitement is about what Tucson has, not what it doesn't have. My pleading is let's connect the dots, right? To Rick's call, let's not keep those things under the radar. Let's be going up to A Mountain and yelling out about our tech park, about our stellar record in space exploration, space technologies, in optics, in biosciences, in biotech. Let's not make those things, the appetizer. Let's make that the five-course dinner. Let's say, like other communities who've been in our spot before and are in a much different spot now, peer cities, have just figured out how to storytell what they do well and get the university, the public sector, and the private sector all pulling on the same rope. And more importantly, saying together, we're tired of losing. I think until this community decides it's tired of losing, we're going to keep perpetuating what we see. And I think the scary part that nobody wants to say out loud is that we are okay with being second or third place. Rick kind of touched on that. And again, I'll just say it again. I don't want to be a broken record. I say this out of love and passion, not angst and anger. We've got all the pieces. We just got to put it together and have the vision to do it. But we have to agree that we're tired of losing. We're tired of losing good people and good ideas somewhere else. And until enough of us say that out loud, we're going to be in this place. And I'm just on the air today saying, I don't want to be in that place anymore. I don't want to be in that place anymore. I'm tired of seeing younger individuals who want to make their dream happen here get the cold shoulder from a community that actually has all the pieces needed and just hasn't put it together. And so if you're one of those pieces and you're listening, I want to celebrate you. I want to thank you. I want to appreciate you. And hear my passion and know you've got at least a storytelling partner on this program to storytell. Matt, I did not expect a quick intro segment to strike a nerve, but I'm looking forward to chatting with Jason Robinson to end the show. Mass Mutual. We'll talk about financial planning and retirement. Get your finances right with us here on the program. Jason will guide us on the other side. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 10:30, The Voice.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at Mass Mutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be and tell them Zach sent you over.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Reserve your tickets today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to FCTucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. FCTucson.com.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Looking forward to closing out this beautiful hot Friday morning as we head into a hot weekend with my friend Jason Robinson in studio, Mass Mutual, getting your finances right here on the show. Jason, good morning to you.
Good to see you, man. Yeah.
So we've been working through a list of top financial planning questions that people are asking.
Yeah.
I think last time you were on, we talked about the big question that people ask, and that is how much do I need to retire?
Correct.
The other big question is when.
Right.
So how much do I need before, and then when can I retire?
Yep. So the when was the number two Googled search question in 2020.
Sorry. How about that?
Yep. So yeah, so I think if we were to kind of go back to that analogy we used last time, and if you think about these levers in front of us, right? So one of them is this age. One of them is our lifestyle. And the last one is our capacity to save. So I think what we're doing here is then saying, okay, well, then at what age can I retire? So we're really kind of using that function over time. So that's really kind of what we're looking at here. But one of the things I think is that there's a lot of different variables when talking about when can I? And so I wanted to start off by telling a little bit of a story that a lot of this time too, I had a gentleman and he did a great job saving. Unfortunately, his parents had passed away and left him a little bit, but with his savings and with what he had gotten from his parents, he was financially independent. And so he decided to turn in his resignation at age 55, and he was prepared. But then what happened was a year later, as I was continuing to work with him, we came back and you know, there was plates stacked up and he really hadn't left the house. So the point was, is when right. I was talking to him, he didn't have a life outside of his work. And so my point to kind of the listeners or the point of today is it's not, you know, we might have a point where we're retiring, quote unquote, but I like to use the word more like financially independent. So now we're working because we want to or working because we have to.
Right.
I think that's kind of the key of what the root of what this question is.
That's interesting because that's a values-based question and answer, but it actually does have an impact on, you know, if you're planning to work part-time because you want to and you know you're going to need to, that impacts how much you are saving or planning before you retire down to part-time.
Sure.
Those are all levers that you have to manage.
Sure, and it can be part of it. You know, I think the idea though is if we could say to your listeners or those that we're working with is to say, hey, you know what, at what point do you like that point where you can say, I don't have to work? Now, some of my clients that we're working with are in the middle of a project and they are good to go. They can live off, you know, their investments, their whatever that they have, their properties. But they're like, you know, I dig what I'm doing. I really like my work and I've got this project going on. I say, that's fine. You know, keep working. Or sometimes they say, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to do I always like to use the woodworking as the example, but woodworking side job, you know, doing this right now. But I never knew if it was enough to make a living. So now I know that for sure my expenses are covered or I can live this lifestyle. Now I'll just do this on the side and enjoy what I'm doing. So it's more of like hobbies, golf, it could be climbing, traveling, whatever the case might be. But what is that we want to do after that as well?
Right. Yeah, you know, full disclosure, you are our financial planner, my family, you do. And I've always enjoyed that it's never been this cold Excel spreadsheet only
right.
with you, which is, I think, a lot of the financial planning stereotype is, you know, a cold white room and bring your Excel spreadsheet. We'll have a droning conversation for a half an hour. You know, you've always started with, okay, what is important to you?
Sure.
What do you want down the road? Let's talk about life and what gets you up in the morning. And then we'll figure all the financial levers around to make that happen. And yeah. I've always really enjoyed that about working with you. I just thought I'd throw that in.
And what's nice is, Zach, you probably don't know that those spreadsheets do exist. You know, they're in the backdrop.
Oh, you're but, great at those too. Don't get me wrong.
now I think what's really interesting about what you're saying too is that, you know, when we're looking at those spreadsheets though, some of the things too is that there are some of these variables that, you know, if we've got someone that
right.
can be financially independent at 55, let's call it, you know, we have to be really sensitive that there is specific ways of making withdrawals out of qualified retirement accounts if you're not 60 and a half, technically. But so there's a lot of planning that also says, how do we prepare ourselves so that we can do that? The other one right now, I'm running into quite a bit of people retiring this year and that are not 65, and there's healthcare costs.
Yes.
So, you know, there's this spot where it's like this donut hole, I call it. So when they were working, they had group benefits.
Yep.
Maybe we ride COBRA for a little bit, but then there's this time period where they're not 65, so they don't qualify for Medicare yet. So it's like that comes with a cost. So it's planning all of these things. And another thing too, is I as we're walking into this, it's a lot of sometimes expense management to help get us financially independent or that retirement age as well. So are we walking into retirement with a mortgage or not?
Yeah, you kind of hinted at it, but you know, one thing I did want to ask you about is that donut hole, and get this good information for our listeners today. Of course, we encourage everyone, if you spark a question or if a question is sparked in your mind from these conversations, of course, we can't answer every individualized.
Oh gosh, no.
In fact, we're not going to.
No.
You got to give Jason a call for that. But you're raising good themes, and here's the levers. Another one I wanted to ask you a little bit more about is retiring prior to age 60
sure.
has some sensitive considerations if your income is going to come from investments
sure.
from retirement accounts. I think you touched on it, but can you give us 2 minutes or so on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so from a broad scope, there's some incentives that the IRS says that if you put money into your 401k, your traditional IRA, these are what they call qualified retirement accounts. But what they do is they say, we're not going to tax you as it grows over the years. In some accounts, we let you put the money in pre-taxed. Then what happens is though, they say, well, I'm kind of simplifying it here, but they really are sitting there going, well, we're going to give you that incentive. However, you're not allowed to pull the money out until you're really 60, or else we're gonna penalize you for what they call an early withdrawal. So now there is technically this interesting thing where you can do substantially equal payments starting at age 55, where you can commit to a certain amount. That's getting kind of in the weeds for today's show. It's kind of a technicality, but my point though is it's possible to make some withdrawals. You just have to be super sensitive or else you get penalized. And it's a 10% penalty on what you withdraw. That's on top of taxes, if it's taxable amounts.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I say it's sensitive. But here's the answer is that if someone was to call me and say, hey, I think I'm going right, but I think I'm tracking towards before 60, and you said something that was interesting, we can start to say, well, what if we were to allocate your savings a little bit different today? We know we're on pace
right.
with your current stuff, but what if we were to put those dollars into one of these tax-qualified retirement plans, so that we don't have to worry about those penalties and we can still make you financially independent. We would just pull from this bucket, sort of speak, prior to age 60, and then we pull from this bucket.
Right. Oh, that's good. And then that ties into expense management, which you already hit on, is then if you're moving money around, then that impacts expenses.
Yeah.
So we talked last time, how much do I need to retire? When can I retire is apparently connected to that question.
Sure.
There's probably a reason that was the number one and number two most Googled question. Mm-hmm. How much do I need? When can I retire? Anything else before we close?
Yeah, I think as we're kind of moving through this conversation as well, you know, it's one of those things where I think you and I are, by design, trying to be more general in this conversation. I think it's meant to really pique some interest. And this is what we think is going to be a fun conversation to talk about. But I think if the audience also just had jumped on, I think we're going to do a poll on your on the old social media. We'd love to hear from them to say, hey, you know what? I've got a question, or this one is a burning question, or we can go back to this list. But it's always a case by case, you know, reaching out to us. Anyone in our office really has the same philosophy. And then the next one is going to be more of like, what is our capacity to save?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really going to be that last lever. How do we get into that?
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I'll do this. Look on my Facebook page, Zach Yenser. It'll be the public page, not my personal one, but the public one, because you can just do more with it for what we're trying to do over the next little bit. And you'll start to see a poll where you can weigh in and help drive what questions do you have that we're answering. If you don't have social media, no worries. zyenser@gmail.com. So yeah. Z for Zach. Yenser, my full last name, @gmail.com.
Sure.
Shoot me an email there, and I'll get that to Jason of kind of like, hey, here's the questions on my mind. Can you address it on the air? And if we can, we'll do it.
Yeah, and truly, I mean, we'll be able to address any of the topics. It's just how detailed. We can't, you know, we're really not designing this show to be specific information to say, hey, because there's too many questions that have to be asked to make things suitable. So that, you know, because what is the goal, you know, and if we get to that point, then it's like, well, what's the most efficient tools out there? You know, we're all licensed for all of the tools out there. So, you know, it's kind of like if all we had was a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So this way we can really talk to the client and say, you know, what works best for you. But, you know, if they want to reach out to us directly as opposed to just, you know, reaching out to you as saying, hey, this is a cool topic. But if you had more personal questions, you can obviously give us a call at our office. It's 520-274-3749.
Very
really
cool.
Anyone in our office can be able to help them, or you can certainly ask for me directly.
Yeah. And I would love to, if you're listening now and you do that, and if you can remember it, we'd love to know how this conversation on the air is going. Let them know that, hey, like I heard Jason on Zach's show. We'd love to figure out, you know, how that whole ecosystem is connecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
This is the show's for them.
Yes.
Not for us.
Jason, as always, great to end the week with you. Thanks for being on. Thanks for guiding our financial planning here on the program.
Happy Father's Day, too. I won't see you before then.
Absolutely. You as well. Thanks, Jason. We'll be back on Monday for our news hour. Nicole Ludden, Daily Star, will update us on city matters. Stay safe out there, Tucson.